Well, good morning. It is 6:06 on the 26th, and we've got an amazing attack by Hillary Clinton on Donald Trump, and I've got a little bit of that for you. First, though, don't forget the Greek festival out in El Paso, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, on the west side. 12:45 festival, you exit on Mesa to get there. Friday from 5 to 10, Saturday 12 to 10, Sunday 12 to 9. Greek food, obviously, gyros, Greek salad, Greek desserts, pastries, belly dancing, Greek wine and beer. And it's to support the Greek Orthodox Church there. It's once a year, and they usually get thousands of people out there. So, all right, so you've got a massive attack from Hillary upon the Trump and on Alex Jones, which was interesting. But first, before we get into that, there is the worst story I think I've ever seen in my life, which is a lady and her boyfriend and his cousin killed a little girl up in Albuquerque. And wow, I mean, they gave her methamphetamine so that they could commit a sexual attack on her. And then during that or after that attack, they stabbed her and dismembered her and rolled her up in a blanket to burn her. And it's just, I mean, it doesn't get any more sick than that. And the mother was involved. And the mother, they showed the picture of the mother who was accused. And she just looked like a, just a zombie, just a completely, you know, no emotion. It's absolutely just the worst thing I've ever seen. And the little girl was so cute. She looked so innocent. She looked like a little angel. And the mother had a big bunch of stitches across the bridge of her nose, kind of going up and straight up and down. And she said, and the other guy, the boyfriend also had some, you know, kind of bruising on his face. And he said that this cousin, this Jessica Kelly, had clobbered them with an iron. So, I mean, a pretty nasty cut on the mom's face, but just a terrible story. So I'll get that for you in just a second here. But, you know, you have to really wonder what the world is coming to. It seems like stuff like this is happening more often, and, seems like the world, doesn't it seem like the world's becoming a worse place? I mean, during the election, it seems like we're hearing stuff. We're hearing about stuff that's never happened before. Somebody auctioning off the a United States office, one of the most important positions in the United States government, and in saying that, one of the most important positions in the world. And they didn't. Apparently the person, Hillary, who did it, the job itself wasn't enough to keep her busy because it seemed like they were totally preoccupied with this Clinton Foundation getting the funding for it. So the people who went and were brought in for the funding or who were brought in were people that were giving money. I mean, that's all there is to it. So, and now they're that now. And now that the media is so incredibly politicized itself, it's just, I've never just, you know, I never thought I'd see this day, this kind of situation. But anyway, here's this terrible story I've got for you. And I don't know. So this is from KOAT. And it'll play in a second. I just got to get rid of an ad here. But officers found girl's dismembered body wrapped in a blanket. Mother, two others drugged girl before killing her. But they killed her. They drugged her to sexually assault her. She's 10 years old. And it was her birthday the day before that. And, you know, it's just pure evil. I mean, that's why you need the death. They interviewed me for TV on this. You need the death penalty for extraordinary cases like this. The mother and the boyfriend should die, and the aunt. So, And I've got that just, as a matter of fact, I might have to go on to YouTube and get this because this, I don't know if the internet's a little slow this morning, but I, you know, when you hear this, you're going to, I'll just be patient on this thing and wait till it comes up. But it is about the worst thing that you've ever heard.
What happened to this little girl? It's horrific.
A crime so awful, so disturbing that police are having a difficult time just talking about it. This morning, we are learning much more about the death of a girl who had just turned 10 years old. We, too, at KOAT7 are struggling with emotions to tell this story, so we do want to warn you that what you are about to hear is very disturbing. Action 7 News reporter Sasha Leninger is live at APD headquarters. We learned the victim's own mother is among those charged with killing the little girl. Sasha.
Marissa, it was just about midnight when Albuquerque police arrested and took that little girl's mother, her name Michelle Martins, to jail, as well as her boyfriend, Fabian Gonzalez. And now Gonzalez was being walked to his police car, and we asked him how that little girl ended up dead, and this is what he told us.
That's because Jessica Kelly did it.
Police describe that statement as not the whole truth, but not a lie. Jessica Kelly is related to that man you saw there, Fabian Gonzalez. So far, she is not talking, but APD says Gonzalez and Martin did confess to their roles in the death of that 10-year-old little girl. Now, we'll be learning more when we get our hands on their criminal complaints later on this morning, but right now, investigators say the little girl was drugged, sexually assaulted, cut, stabbed, and then strangled. This case is so vicious and disturbing, it's taking an emotional toll on the entire police department. Now, we did speak to the spokesman for APD, his name, Tanner Tache, and he was visibly shaken and emotional when just talking to us. He says this is nothing compared to what the officers and the medics who first arrived on scene are dealing with.
I would ask that the citizens of Albuquerque keep the first responders that had to enter that scene today in their thoughts and prayers. What these gentlemen and women saw, no human being should ever have to see.
Now, Michelle Martins was much more quiet when she was walked to her police car. She didn't really say much when we tried talking to her. Now, Alice did tell investigators coming up in our 6 o'clock hour. Live at APD headquarters, I'm Sasha Leninger, KOAT, Action 7 News. Marissa, back to you.
Thank you, Sasha.
I'm telling you, you couldn't find a more cute and innocent-looking girl. Just a big, beautiful smile, and just the pictures of her. She looks so happy and carefree, and she must have had a hard life with a mother like that just to begin with. Just evil, pure evil. It's like evil has been released on this country, you know, and from the very top to the very bottom. Gosh, I've never seen anything like it. The worst story I've ever heard about a killing, you know, the mother and the boyfriend inject her with methamphetamine so they can calm her down so she can be sexually abused. That's how the story started. And then the story ends supposedly after the sexual assault, when this cousin, Jessica Kelly, pulls out a knife, where I don't know what she had, but she just started stabbing her in the stomach, and they ended up killing her, and the body was dismembered, and then she was put in a blanket, and truly awful. But yeah, that's why you have the death penalty if people are interested. I mean, you can't allow something like that to go unpunished, you know? And that's a satanic crime in my book. I mean, how do you justify, you know, So I've got some more on this, as you can well imagine. But there are truly evil people out there, and this mother was an evil person, a very, very evil person. And she and that other woman and the boyfriend deserve to die in my book. I mean, you cannot allow human beings to be treated that way, especially children. All right, here's a little bit more on it. This is all from KOAT.
Doug, we are not releasing the name of the little girl because police are not releasing her name, but we have been talking to people who know her, and they simply cannot process what has happened. Police officers and a mobile crime lab at this Northwest Albuquerque apartment complex. Instead of birthday balloons for the little girl who lived here, there is yellow crime scene tape.
She turned 10 yesterday, and we were going to celebrate her birthday today after school.
Laura Bobs, she says they had an afternoon planned that included manicures, pedicures, and cake.
She loves Frozen. And I got her one of these Frozen necklaces, and I had it engraved in the back.
Now, instead of a birthday celebration, they're preparing a funeral. Police are keeping very tight-lipped about this case, but say the child was brutally murdered.
Who does this? I counsel people. Being a Christian, I have to forgive you. But right now, forgiveness is kind of hard for me.
Now, I did ask APS if the little girl was a student with them. They say, yes, she was. And until police release her name, they are not saying what school she attends, but we're told that they will have grief counselors on hand. APD might need those as well, and EMT workers. I am told that the people who were the first responders on scene are struggling with this and say it is the worst crime scene they have ever seen. Back to you.
And that's the mother. The mother does that to her child.
Well, Doug and Shelley, the more I'm hearing about this, the more disturbing the details, and there really are no words to describe this. I can tell you that investigators are out here and they're talking to people and they're putting this case together so they can charge the person responsible appropriately. It is not something neighbors say they see here a lot. Police officers, crime scene tape, and the medical examiner.
It hurts me because I mean, I love kids, but someone so young does not deserve to, you know, be murdered, let alone brutally murdered.
That someone was a little girl who friends say just turned 10 yesterday. Laura Bob says she's a close family friend. She says today they were supposed to celebrate the little girl's birthday this afternoon after school.
We were going to go do petties and manis and had cake, and I went to Dillard's, and she told me on the phone last night, she says, Auntie? And I said, yeah. She said, I'm turning 10, so don't buy me no toys.
But Bob says this morning she got a phone call she will never forget, to come to the apartment complex as quickly as possible. The little girl she loves and adores was gone.
She told me on the phone last night, she says, Auntie?
Terrible. Just terrible. Just evil people. And anybody would be so proud to have that little girl as a child, and for the mother, this evil witch, to have a hand in killing her own daughter. Wow, I can't believe it. 620 Kelly O'Connell Show, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523 1450. Evil things are happening all around us. We'll be right back. Good morning. It's Kelly, but it's not really a good morning. I've got to tell you, there's the most terrible crime you've ever heard of up in Albuquerque, if you're just tuning in. And I hate to tell you this, and the little girl's name was Victoria Martins. They're saying they're withholding it, but it's out in the media now. And she looked like a little angel, just a beautiful smile and a carefree face. And she was taken by her mother and her mother's boyfriend, and she's had just turned 10, and they injected her with methamphetamine so that they could sexually assault her. And then the cousin of the boyfriend, who was also involved in the sexual assault. Actually, I don't know if the mom assaulted her, but she obviously agreed to it and allowed it to happen, allowed her boyfriend to do it. And the cousin, Jessica Kelly, then stabbed her in the stomach, reportedly, and they killed her and dismembered the body, and then for whatever logic there would be in this type of thing, they rolled her up in a blanket and lit her on fire, which in and of itself doesn't make any sense. You're inside of an apartment and you light something on fire. I mean, anyway, all right, so here is Jessica Kelly, 13 years of criminal history, and actually also a very attractive lady. I mean, you know, except that you know that she's evil, a very, very, very evil person with Satan in her heart. But, anyway, here's a little bit on her criminal history, the so-called stabber, the killer.
Take a look at Jessica Kelly. These 18 mugshots show her extensive criminal history, all glimpses of her past leading up to today. Court records show Kelly was first arrested in 2003 for battery against a household member. That case was later dismissed. Documents go on to show she was later convicted for a variety of crimes, including shoplifting, driving while intoxicated, and trafficking a controlled substance. Her criminal conviction spans 13 years in Bernalillo County. The New Mexico Corrections Department tells us her latest conviction was in 2013, and she stayed in prison for 3 years until she was released just days ago. Once she's charged in connection to the death of Victoria Martins, she'll have another mugshot in her collection.
Wow. I'm absolutely just, I am so shocked. I mean, here's a birthday party that would have been held for this little girl. Well, they're going to hold a birthday party in honor of her, even though she died the day after her 10th birthday.
Hey, Shelley, thousands of people are expected to come out here Sunday afternoon to celebrate Victoria's birthday and really to celebrate her life. The woman who organized this says this is a way to help the entire community grieve together.
I said, God, that's heartbreaking, and I started to cry. Erica Smith remembers the moment she first heard about Victoria Martin's death. When she thought the story couldn't get any worse, her son told her Victoria was killed the same day she was supposed to celebrate her 10th birthday. Smith says she couldn't stop thinking about the little girl and knew she had to do something.
I cried myself to sleep last night, and I woke up this morning and I said, we're going to give Victoria her birthday party.
She created a Facebook event and called it Princess Victoria's Heavenly Birthday. Within hours, thousands of people had seen it. Complete strangers and local businesses started offering to bring food, drinks, and cake. The icing on that cake, Princess Elsa herself wanted to be a part of the celebration.
I think that we ended up meeting her one time at one of our events that we had. She was just very happy and excited to meet us because she loves Frozen.
Victoria's godmother told us that Victoria loved singing along to Frozen. The party is going to be held at Mariposa Basin Park, just a few minutes away from Victoria's school. People are planning to bring ribbons, stuffed animals, and balloons will also be released in Victoria's memory.
And I know that she'll be looking down and just smiling and enjoying the moment with us.
Now, that celebration starts at 2 p.m. here at the park on Sunday afternoon. Face painters have also volunteered their time to come out here. They tell me they'll be painting butterflies on every child's cheek in Victoria's honor. Reporting live at Mariposa Basin Park, Sandra Ramirez, KUAT, Action 7 News.
And here's parents and students grieving the loss of this young lady.
Parents are having a tough time explaining to their kids what happened to a student here at this school.
Why would you mistreat a child? You know, I don't care what you do to me. Don't hurt my kids.
I feel bad for the family. I feel bad for the student.
Parents shed tears and have heavy hearts as they walk their children to Petroglyph Elementary.
Terrible that it's happened so close to home, our community. Here, someone we know, you know, someone who is on the playground.
But today, there was one student missing, 10-year-old Victoria Martin.
On the first day of school, we met each other. She said, do you want to be my friend? And I said, yeah.
She says their favorite game was tag.
She used to play with me a lot of times, and she's nice to everyone.
But parents say they're having a tough time explaining what happened to Victoria to their kids.
As parents, we got to nourish our kids and take care of our kids. And to find out that those parents weren't doing that, it makes me hurt.
The entrance to the school now marked with a dozen yellow roses.
Darlene, I don't have enough flowers. I would like to heal the heart of every one of these children and their parents. There are not enough flowers.
Jeez, what a terrible day. All right, let's take a little break here. What evil. There are evil people out there, you know, and it's like this whole country is just starting to go in that direction. It's scary. 631 Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523-1450 to call in. Honestly, I can't believe this particular crime, but in general, it just seems like we're going down the tubes. And you can't blame that crime on drugs. Please don't insult my intelligence. We'll be right back. Hey, it's Kelly.
Hey, Kelly. This is Kathy.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm pretty good. That is the most, besides the baby Brianna case, that is the most disgusting thing I've ever heard. And I used to be a death penalty proponent. I'm still against it. I want these people to suffer. And death is too quick for them. Suzanne Martinez can't get it turned around quick enough for them to get the death penalty in this state.
No.
But life, you know, I would like to see, these are the kind of people that are hopefully brutalized and raped in prison, as far as I'm concerned.
I don't see how this lady just got out, and this lady,
yeah.
Jessica Kelly, you look at her, she's an attractive woman. You wouldn't look into her features and see evil, but her heart.
Evil's in your soul. I mean, beautiful people can be evil. It's in your soul.
Yeah.
I mean, just evil is in your soul. And I want to see these people suffer.
Well,
I want to see them brutalized by people in jail.
I honestly think just if you see this little girl's picture and how innocent and just happy and joyful she looked like the sweetest little girl, I think that when these guys go into prison, there are going to be people that try to kill them. That's the kind of
absolutely.
People.
Absolutely.
Yeah. God, it's
absolutely.
Just so...
I agree. The only thing I'm wondering about the whole thing is, did this just come up all of a sudden? For the last 10 years, there have been nothing against this mother who's a meth addict. I mean, social services was never involved in this.
I mean, this is what I don't understand. I don't think the mother has a record. I'll have to look her up, but the boyfriend and the cousin I think do, but I can't remember if the mother had a record or not.
Oh well, hell is not good enough for them. They need to have a hell on earth while they're living. As far as I'm concerned,
yeah,
I want to see them suffer, and the best way you can make them suffer is let them live.
Yeah, maybe that's true.
Suffer.
Did you want to say anything on the air?
No, you know me. Anyhow, love your show. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Kat. Have a good weekend.
You You too, Kelly.
Thanks. Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, so if you're just tuning in, a little girl, Victoria Martins, was brutally murdered by her own mother and boyfriend and cousin, his cousin. And there must have been some other fight that went on inside of this apartment where this little girl was murdered. The lady that has been fingered for stabbing and killing the little girl after the sexual assault just gotten out of prison just days ago. And the mother looks like Frankenstein. She's got this big set of stitches that goes from in between her, a little bit above her eyebrows, down the bridge of her nose, down. So it must be a couple, 2-3 inches long. And she just looks like a zombie. The boyfriend has got a black eye, and he said that she had hit them in the face with an iron. So there must have been a fight. Maybe there was a fight over the fact that the little girl was killed, who knows, or stabbed. But, I mean, they dismembered the corpse, and then they put it in a blanket and set it on fire. I mean, to me, if you do that, you want to get caught because, you know, if you light your house on fire, people are going to show up. I mean, it's beyond a bad drug trip or any kind of influence of drugs. There is evil in this. There's Satan involved in this. If you didn't believe in Satan before this, you know, there are some things that are so evil that human depravity doesn't really seem to cover them, you know? And I just got a call from Kathy, and she said that she's opposed to the death penalty and that she thinks the best punishment for them is for them to suffer in their lives, go to prison, and get killed by somebody. And I think, you know, if you see what an angel this little girl looked like and what a big smile and how happy, I think these people in prison are going to have a hard time surviving because it's not just a sexual assault. It's the mother sexually assaulting and being involved in the drugging and sexual assault of her own daughter and the murder and the dismembering of the corpse. That Jessica Kelly must be a demon. Anyway, here's with a suspect, Fabian Gonzalez, having his criminal record read out in court.
Regard to conditions of release.
Jenny Garcia, on behalf of background investigation, relocated criminal history out of South Carolina and New Mexico, 3 juvenile contacts, 4 misdemeanors with 3 convictions, 11 bench warrants, 3 for failing to appear. He currently has 2 active failure to appear bench warrants that are non-extraditable out of South Carolina. Those are for DWI and littering, 2 felonies, 2 convicted as misdemeanor, attempted false imprisonment, battery DV in 2012, and abandonment of a child in 2014. He's currently booked on a PD hold, 1 failure to comply. Mr. Gonzalez reports living in Albuquerque for 3 years, currently at 4701 Irving for the last month. He reports being employed full-time at Brady Bunch Plumbing as a plumber tech for 3 years. He scored low to moderate on the REI. We do still see the danger to the community and has a history of violence. We're recommending...
I would agree he's a danger to the community by definition. Do you believe in the death penalty for a case like this? 523-1450. Now here's the mother and the boyfriend confronted over the rape and murder of their child as they're taking them out to the squad cars. But the mom looks like a reanimated corpse.
Did you leave your little girl in the apartment?
Did you have anything to do with? No.
Why did you leave her in the apartment when you guys left them?
Fabian, what happened? Did you have anything to do with the death of this girl?
No, I didn't. Can you tell us anything about what happened?
I just didn't have anything to do with it. Then why are you in handcuffs?
What happened to your face, Fabian?
That was from a fight.
All right, so, wow. words do not express. Here's a little bit more. I'm sorry for spending so much time on this, but I honestly can't believe this crime. It's just so astounding. It's so evil. And it's just right up the road, you know. But here's Victoria Martin's. She was full of life and happiness.
Well, that very close family friend tells me Michelle Martin's struggled as a single parent and would often scream and yell at her two children. She tells me that didn't seem to faze Victoria, though, who she says was always laughing and smiling.
She was always laughing and smiling. Everybody loved her.
If there's one thing people will remember about 10-year-old Victoria Martin, it was her smile.
Oh, she loved everything. And we took him to Hamas. Oh, my God, we played in the creek. And she walked across the log. She loved a picnic.
Nina Willenberg says the little girl was full of life and happiness. She says she couldn't say the same, though, for Victoria's mother, Michelle Martin.
She would yell at him a lot. You know, scream at him. I'd say, Michelle, they're just kids. Let them play. You know, you don't have to yell and scream at him all the time.
Willenberg met Michelle Martin's when they worked together years ago. She says she quickly became attached to the kids, who she says spent most of their time with their grandparents.
Victoria was. I mean, she was a grandpa's girl. She was his life, and the grandma the same way.
Willenberg tells us normally Victoria would not have been with her mother.
Because normally the grandmother would have had her, but Michelle had a day off work.
As Willenberg remembers all of the fun times she shared with Victoria, she can't help but think of all the things she never got a chance to do with her, like take Victoria horseback riding, because she says she loved horses.
She had a really special pair of cowboy boots she used to wear all the time, her pajamas on.
And she tells me she'll treasure memories like that forever. Now, Willenberg also tells me she's really worried about Victoria's little brother, who wasn't home at the time when this happened. Now, a lot of you on our social media pages are also concerned about the little boy. Willenberg tells me right now he's staying with an aunt. Reporting live in Northwest Albuquerque, Sandra Ramirez, KWT Action 7 News.
Wow. Just unbelievable, you know? Wow. This is so depressing. Let's take another little break here. This is why the death penalty. So they interviewed me on TV and on K-Fox about just a very brief, you know, 30-second soundbite or whatever minute, and ask about the death penalty. And, you know, our country has these European and Christian roots, and the history of Europe is the history of these missionaries coming in and, you know, converting all these tribes, and then Europe becomes basically the Christian part of the globe. And then that's where all of our ideas and our laws come from, one way or the other. And as a part of that law, you know, in the Old Testament, Noah is, the flood comes and Noah survives the flood and his family. And then God says to Noah, basically, this is my covenant with you. I want, you know, one of the things he says is I'll never flood the earth again. But another thing that he says is for any person who spills another person's blood, their own blood must be spilled because man is made in the image of God. And it's a very powerful idea, you know, that society can't arbitrarily decide what the punishment will be for murder. And we're not talking about, you know, we're not manslaughter or anything like that. We're talking about first-degree premeditated murder, because an attack on a human beings is an attack on God, because man is made in the image of God, so, and woman. So anyway, that's something we're thinking about. But this is a crime of pure evil, and I honestly can't believe it. But anyway, 645 Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450. We'll be right back. All right, so here is what happens to sex offenders in prison. This is from a guy by the name of Sean Atwood, who apparently used to be in prison.
Almost 6 years in Arizona's State Department of Corrections. There is no mercy for sex offenders in prison. Some of the most brutal violence I saw was against sex offenders. When I first went in, the white gang smashed another white guy in the shower, left him whimpering in a pool of blood. And then this big guy goes up to the gang and says, how come we can still hear him? And the gang were like, oh, we smashed him. Good dog. It's like, not good enough. And just went into the shower and started to try to crack this guy's head open like it was a coconut. Just crack, crack, crack until he looked dead. The guy was laying on the shower floor. Guard does a security walk about 20 minutes later, sees the body, tells us all to lock down, lock down. We all run back to our cells. I put my face to the window because I want to see what the damage is on this guy. He's on a stretcher getting carried out, blood coming out of his head, but there's also yellow fluid, like brain stuff. There was a sex offender undercover in our housing unit in the cell next to me. He was a Mexican, and 6 months he'd been my neighbor, and then he went to court. It was on the news that he'd molested his niece. And the Mexicans, they waited until a guard did a security walk so they wouldn't be interrupted torturing him. And they got him in the cell. And I've never heard such haunting sounds and cries for help as they slowly tortured this guy. In the end, he stumbled out of the cell. He was caked in blood from head to toes. And he managed to get down the stairs and he knocked on the window. And he was unrecognizable, basically. And the guard popped the door open for the pod and he just stumbled out and we never saw him again. Now, sex offenders generally will go to their own prison, but some will not want to be locked down in the county jail. They'll end up in the general population, undercover sex offenders. And the gang to try and sort this out, what they do is when you first go in, they ask to see your legal paperwork, your charge sheet that's on a little printout from the jail. And the gang rule is, if they find out anyone has got sex offenses, rape, child molestation, it's called KOS, the kill on site.
Kill on site. So that's what these guys are going to be under. And maybe Kathy's right. Maybe that's a better punishment. But anyway, we'll take a break on the hour. Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450. An evil day indeed. A young, beautiful girl was tortured to death, sexually assaulted, murdered. We'll be back. Okay, so 7:06, it's the 26th. Thank goodness it's Friday, but I've got a terrible story that I spent the first hour on, a murder of a beautiful and innocent little girl up in Albuquerque, 10 years old, and she was not just brutally murdered, but she was sexually abused by her own mother, whether her mother was just allowed it to happen, but she had to be, you know, I mean, it's just pure evil. The mother was involved. They injected her with methamphetamine. I mean, the mother looks like Frankenstein's bride. She's got a huge cut across her face that's been all stitched up. And apparently the person who did the actual killing was Jessica Kelly, who just got out of prison. So here's a little bit on that. If you're just tuning in, this is from KRQE.
They train us to have to deal with these kinds of scenes, but you can't train yourself to walk into the situation.
The brutal murder of a 10-year-old girl shocks the community, even devastating the most seasoned police officers. Even more shocking are the people accused of doing it. One of them, the girl's own mother. That little girl is 10-year-old Victoria Martin. Details of the torment she endured early yesterday morning are emerging today. They are so graphic, we've chosen not to share all those details with you, but we still want to warn you, all of this is hard to hear. Albuquerque police say the people behind it are her own mother, Michelle Martin, her boyfriend, Fabian Gonzalez, and Gonzalez's cousin, Jessica Kelly. Police say this all happened in mom's apartment at Irving and Golf Course early yesterday morning after someone reported a disturbance. When police arrived, they found the little girl's remains under a burning blanket. They soon learned she had been dismembered in what police believe was an attempt to cover up the crime. And police say the torment she endured before that is hard to fathom.
They injected the little girl with methamphetamines to make her calm down so they could do what they wanted to this little girl.
All three suspects are charged with the girl's murder, child abuse, kidnapping, and other charges. Kelly and Gonzalez are both also charged with rape. Now, if you're wondering why Gonzalez and Martin have bruises on their faces, they claim Jessica Kelly attacked them with an iron during all of this.
All right, so that's the bare outline of the crime. So I'm not going to spend a second hour on it, but it's just, I'll do one more clip on it just because it's so unbelievable. And it happened right up in Albuquerque.
Today, Albuquerque police will continue investigating the tragic death of that 10-year-old girl in Northwest Albuquerque. Overnight, APD took three people into custody in connection with the child's death. They do include the girl's mother and her boyfriend. Just a few hours ago, they were both escorted out of APD's main station in handcuffs and transported to MDC. KRQE cameras were there as one of them denied being involved at all.
Fabian, what happened? Did you have anything to do with the death of this girl?
No, I didn't.
That's Fabian Gonzalez, who police say played a role in the death of the child. The girl's mother, Michelle Martin, is also facing various charges in connection with the death. She stayed quiet. Police say there was also a third person involved, Gonzalez's cousin, Jessica Kelly. When pressed for answers about what happened, Gonzalez pinned everything on her.
I tried my best to protect Michelle and the baby.
But what happened, though? Why is there a girl that's dead?
Because Jessica Kelly did it.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Krista Gutierrez. Such a horrible story this morning.
Yeah, and I'm Fernanda Lopez.
We've learned overnight the suspects in the girl's death are no stranger to the law. Jessica Kelly, who we just mentioned, does have a long rap sheet, but so does Gonzalez. We have team coverage this morning. Sarah Yingling live at Petroglyph Elementary. But first, we start with Catherine Mazzone, who's been digging through the criminal histories of all three suspects. Good morning, Catherine.
Good morning, Crystal. Fernanda, tough story indeed. I went through each suspect's criminal history and found that both of them, or all three, have rap sheets, but two more than the other. Jessica Kelly and Fabian Gonzalez have long rap sheets, many charges, also for battery against a household member. Gonzalez has four battery charges on record, two resulting in great bodily harm. He was also charged with an open count of child abuse in 2014 and abandonment of a child the same year. His record reveals Gonzalez was charged with resisting arrest in 2012 and a DWI in 2007. Jessica Kelly's is somewhat similar. She also has four battery charges on her sheet, plus one pending domestic abuse charge she's supposed to appear in court for on the 29th of this month. The charges were filed back in 2011. Kelly pleaded no contest to assaulting a peace officer in 2007 and to a DWI in 2011. She was found guilty for another DWI in 2010. She also has two shoplifting and one drug trafficking charge. Police say Gonzalez and the girl's mother, Michelle Martins, were arrested for kidnapping. They say Gonzalez and his cousin Kelly are also charged with sexual penetration of a minor under the age of 15, child abuse resulting in great bodily harm or death, tampering with evidence, and a number of other charges. Police say what they did to this girl was unfathomable.
They injected the little girl with methamphetamines to make her calm down so they could do what they wanted to this little girl.
Michelle Martins, on the other hand, appears pretty much clean, according to New Mexico courts. The only cases we found for her had to do with child support. Back to you.
All right, thank you, Catherine. And it's
well, a very, very evil day. And here's a statement from Police Chief Eden, and we'll move on to other stories after this.
This investigation. As you're aware, we have our homicide unit on what we call a full homicide call out. And I'll also be very frank with each and every one of you that this is a horrific tragedy for our community. When something like this happens to our community, it has an effect on each and every one of us. I want to assure the public that we will pursue justice and we will make sure that we exhaust every resource into this investigation. Officers were called this morning around 4:30 to an address on Irving Northwest. The call was referenced a battery. When they arrived, they found a deceased victim. The victim, we will confirm, is 10 years of age. The victim's name will not be released at this time, and this is very important. The next of kin have not been notified. Let me stress that again. Next of kin have not been notified. Officers did, in fact, detain a suspect at the scene. Our detectives are currently conducting interviews with several people. There are no outstanding suspects. We are working thoroughly on this case to build the right case, to build the right charges. All components of our Criminal Investigation Bureau are being utilized on this investigation, and those investigators remain at the scene of this crime. Our investigators are combing through every piece of evidence at this home. We will not rush this investigation. To the people who live in that neighborhood, let me assure you that your neighborhood is safe. There are no other suspects in this case. There is no threat to public safety. However, you need to know that officers will be in the scene or on scene working on this investigation for many more hours.
All right, so the statement from the police. Wow. Total brutality, senseless murder of a beautiful young and apparently a girl with a great attitude, a great take on life, even though her life was not perfect. Anyway, we've got a phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Good morning. This is Sergio. How you doing, Kelly?
Sergio, what's up, man?
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on this. The Brianna.
Yeah.
The brutality that's going on in this state about the child abuse and sexual, you know, it's horrible, horrific kind of abuse that is having children in the state. You know, you being an attorney, well, what do you attribute about a lot of this to?
Well, I mean, I don't, you know, I think this is stuff that goes outside of the law and deals with, you know, it deals with society and it deals with culture and religion and all these different things. It, I mean, it's obvious that if you go back 50 years, this culture is a lot worse in terms of the crime and the level of, you know, just the kind of stuff that's out there. Pornography, for one thing. You can find pornography on any computer, which is just one thing that I think desensitizes people. A crime like this is committed by monsters, and they live right down the street from us. So I think that, personally, I think there's a lot of things that lead into this. How about yourself?
Well, you know, considering the fact that, it's escalated to a degree that's unprecedented in this country, you know, I kind of wonder where the judicial system is going. And, in turn, flipping the coin that people's attitudes are, most of them are in denial. I mean, we're not even talking about the fact of how many millions of babies are aborted. And yet there's people, for instance, candlelight vigils trying to protect some monster in a prison before an execution. What kind of society is this, really?
Well,
I think the calamities that are going on is just going to get worse.
Yeah, well, I think that, as you're mentioning this stuff, I think all of the stuff leads up to desensitization, you know? And so I just believe that, you know, for one thing, the fact that all of the family, there's so many families that are broken up out there, that desensitizes people towards divorce and having affairs and stuff, because that's how they're raised. They're raised in this.
Right.
That's one thing. A kid raised without a father is so much more likely to get involved in the justice system, to be institutionalized, to use drugs, to suffer from mental health issues. And that's just one thing. I think pornography desensitizes people. I think that, you know, like the violence that we see, you just think about the violence from Islam. You know, a guy gets in a truck and runs over 150 people and 100 of them die. Somebody shoots up a bar. And I mean, this is every day. I think all of these things come in. And I think the fact that the country is really not Christian anymore in a lot of ways. And, you know, where do you get your rules from if you're a humanist or agnostic? You know, all these things, I think, come together. The media, the total ignorance out there in the media, all of this stuff feeds into people's mindset.
Well, personally, I personally believe, because I'm, like I said, I'm 62, and I've seen a lot in my days of this life on Earth. And I can tell you one thing. I think it's just going to progressively get worse. I mean, worse. And real quick, to those who believe in God, there's going to be some justification and there's going to be some kind of, solution. And to those who believe that we were seeded by aliens and that, well, if I was an alien and I seeded people on this earth and I'm seeing what they're doing, I'd be a little bit upset about it too, you know. So either way, we're doomed, I believe. I mean, something's going to happen to this world in general.
Yeah, it does seem like there's a sense of doom. But, I mean, you know, Has life been worse in the world? I guess you could argue it could be. I mean, you know, during World War II, there were all those people killed, and what people don't realize in the West is that the Nazis almost won World War II.
Well, there was a lot of atrocities in war. I agree, but there's a whole different scenario and mindset in the time of war. You know, and in this country, we haven't seen any of that. You know, save the fact of the Revolutionary War and the Civil War. But in general, this country is supposed to be somewhat of an example, has just turned into a chaotic quagmire of murder and violence every day. Every day. It's never been like this that I can recall. You know, so I don't know. Something to ponder, I imagine. But, you know, and I hate to be a doomsday prophet or some pessimistic person that's harsh about things, but things don't look too good in this country, Kelly. They just don't look too good.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I agree 100%. So I don't know what we can do about it.
Yeah. Well, I guess hang in there and pray and hope for the best.
Yeah. Okay, Sergio.
So, anyway, have a good weekend. Thanks
you
a lot.
Too.
Take care.
Thanks. All right, folks, take a little break here. And here is... listening to Toots the Illman. He just died. So great harmonica player. 7:21, Kelly O'Connell, AM Massachusetts, AM 1450. Why do you think, is life getting worse? And if so, why? What's the answer? 523-1450 on AM Las Cruces, AM 1450 KOBE. We'll be right back. Hey, it's Kelly. There was a speech yesterday, and it was given by Hillary Clinton, and she's coming out in attack mode, and Hillary Clinton is trying to fight back against this idea that she is mortally wounded, that she is too sick to campaign. And so she went on Jimmy Kimmel and she opened up a, believe it or not, to prove that she's not dying, she opened up a jar of pickles, which I guess was a great achievement if you're on death's doorstep. And then she went and attacked Trump and presented Trump as a totally unacceptable bigot and a hate monger, and that she is by inference, by reference, by alternative, the voice of reason and a law abiding, honest person who's not a demagogue, and which is the craziest claim I've ever heard, even by inference. So here's Hillary is one of the most, speaking of evil, one of the most diabolical and lawless people in U.S. history. But here we go. By the way, I just want to let people know it is on record as a claim by many people, and I don't think it's ever been refuted, that Hillary Clinton was the gatekeeper for Bill when he was involved in these bimbo eruptions, so-called bimbo eruptions, some of which are claimed to have been rape, and that Hillary Clinton helped defend her husband because she was so greedy for power, and now she's finally getting her payback.
Our country great is profoundly dangerous. In just this past week, under the guise of outreach to African Americans, Trump has stood up in front of largely white audiences and described black communities in such insulting and ignorant terms. Poverty, rejection, horrible education, no housing, no homes, no ownership, crime at levels nobody has seen. Right now, he said, you can walk down the street and get shot. Those are his words. But when I hear them, I think to myself, how sad. Donald Trump misses so much. He doesn't see the success of black leaders in every field, the vibrancy of black-owned businesses, the strength of the black church. He doesn't see... He doesn't see the excellence of historically black colleges and universities or the pride of black parents watching their children thrive. He apparently didn't see Police Chief Brown of Dallas on television after the murders of five of his officers, conducting himself with such dignity. He certainly doesn't have any solutions to take on the reality of systemic racism and create more.
I can't help but break in there. Doesn't that sound like the most insulting thing that this black police chief in Dallas was actually able to conduct himself with dignity? There is so much inherent racism and liberalism. It's astounding.
Equity and opportunity in communities of color and for every American. It really does take a lot of nerve to ask people he's ignored and mistreated for decades, what do you have to lose? Because the answer is everything.
All right, so that's part of her speech. And one aspect of it, so here's another part of it. But the idea that liberals are the helpers of blacks, I think is totally contradicted by the statistics, which I'll have for you in a minute.
Recently,
here's another part of her clip, fringe elements in the Republican Party.
Trump claimed that President Obama founded ISIS.
And he has repeated that over and over again. His latest paranoid fever dream is about my health. And all I can say is, Donald, dream on. But my friend,
by the way, there's a picture of Hillary getting into one of these SUVs, and they have a little step stool there. It's kind of interesting. It looks like she can't even, that she's has a difficulty taking one step up a set of stairs.
But my friend, this is what happens. You treat the National Enquirer like gospel.
All right, let's take a little break here and come back and hear some more of this speech, and then I'll tell you about what they call the... Well, here, let me play for you first what Trump said, what she's responding to Trump, to black voters. What do you have to lose? And let me get some of these statistics here because we're running out of time. Blacks mainly backslide under Obama National Review. I'll get these statistics to you. Let me absorb them. But here's what Trump said.
America has been more harmed by Hillary Clinton's policies than African Americans. No group. If Hillary Clinton's goal was to inflict pain on the African American community, she could not have done a better job. It's a disgrace. Tonight, I'm asking for the vote of every single African American citizen in this country who wants to see a better future. Look how much African American communities have suffered under Democratic control. To those I say the following: what do you have to lose by trying something new like Trump? What do you have to lose? I say it again, what do you have to lose? Look, what do you have to lose? You're living in poverty. Your schools are no good. You have no jobs. 58% of your youth is unemployed. What the hell do you have to lose? America must reject the bigotry of Hillary Clinton, who sees communities of color only as votes, not as human beings worthy of a better future.
Powerful words, and let me sum this article up here. Tavis Smiley, a liberal black broadcaster who most people have probably seen at one time or another, told the Huffington Post's Alanya Minkowski, he says, sadly, and it pains me to say this, over the last decade, black folk in the era of Obama have lost ground in every major economic category. So liberal policies don't help minorities. That's the upshot. They don't help anybody, but they especially don't help minorities. We'll take a break here and be right back. Kelly O'Connell, and I'm going to play you a little bit more of Clinton's speech when we come back. And it is 7:34 on the button. Okay, so we've got this clip from Clinton, and so let me play a little bit. Well, this thing is like 9 minutes long. So what I've got for you queued up here, and this is a 31-minute speech, is her attack on not just Clinton, but on Glenn Beck and not Glenn Beck, pardon me. He's really not in the mix anymore. Against Alex Jones and the alt-right, which I've got a clip on next.
Small business and about our economic plans in the days and weeks ahead.
By the way, since she mentioned it, and she's going to be following in the footsteps of Obama, the GDP has been readjusted. The measurement is 1.1%. You need 3% GDP to replace jobs for people who've lost their jobs and to give jobs, offer jobs to people coming into the market. So we're at one third of treading water. It's scary.
But today, here in this community college devoted to opening minds and creating a great understanding of the world in which we live, I want to address something that I am hearing about from Americans all over our country. Everywhere I go, people tell me how concerned they are by the divisive rhetoric coming from my opponent in this election. And I understand that concern because it's like nothing we've heard before from a nominee for president of the United States from one of our two major parties. From the start, Donald Trump has built his campaign on prejudice and paranoia. He is taking hate groups mainstream and helping a radical fringe take over the Republican Party. His disregard for the values that make our country great is profoundly dangerous. In just this past week, under the guise of outreach to African Americans, Trump has stood up in front of largely white audiences and described black communities in such insulting and ignorant terms: poverty, rejection, horrible education, no housing, no homes, no ownership, crime at levels nobody has seen. Right now, he said, you can walk down the street and get shot. Those are his words. But when I hear them, I think to myself, how sad. Donald Trump misses so much. He doesn't see the success of black leaders in every field, the vibrancy of black-owned businesses, the strength of the black church. He doesn't see the excellence of historically black colleges and universities or the pride of black parents watching their children thrive. He apparently didn't see Police Chief Brown of Dallas on television after the murders of five of his officers, conducting himself with such dignity. He certainly doesn't have any solutions to take on the reality of systemic racism and create more equity and opportunity in communities of color and for every American.
To me, I think you'd have to be racist to say, I can't, you know, did you see what dignity this black officer acted with in after his people were shot? I mean, it sounds idiotic. It sounds racist to me. But anyway, here's Hillary's attack on Alex Jones. And I know there are some Alex Jones listeners out there.
In October, I'd be dead in 6 months. It's also what happens when you listen to the radio host, Alex Jones, who claims that 9/11 and the Oklahoma City bombings were inside jobs. He even said, and this really just is so disgusting, he even said the victims of the Sandy Hook massacre were child actors and no one was actually killed there. I don't know what happens in somebody's mind or how dark their heart must be to say things like that. But Trump doesn't challenge these lies. He actually went on Jones's show and said, your reputation is amazing. I will not let you down.
All right. So Hillary really throwing it down there. And, Whose idea was it to start a war in Libya? How many people have been killed in Libya? I think it's like 25,000 at least have been killed in Libya. How many have died in other areas when Hillary was involved in policy over there? So what Hillary is complaining about is how Donald Trump talks and how Alex Jones talks. How does she talk?
We were misled that there were supposedly protests and then something sprang out of that, an assault sprang out of that. And that was easily ascertained that was not the fact.
But
and the American people could have known that within days, and they didn't know that.
With all due respect, the fact is we had 4 dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make?
So what difference does it make? I mean, Hillary Clinton is the master demagogue. She's ginning up this donation machine, the Clinton Foundation, worth somewhere between $2 billion and $100 billion. And to get to her office, when she's doing her job, you had to make a donation in more than half of the cases. All right, here is Clinton painted Trump as the leader of the alt-right. What is the alt-right? Check it out.
Attacking Donald Trump over something most Americans had never heard of a month ago. As we told you last night, it's called the alternative right, alt-right for short. And today, Clinton painted Trump as the leader of a new vast right-wing conspiracy that she said was the fringe taking over the GOP. Fox News correspondent Jennifer Griffin has that story tonight from Reno, Nevada.
Hillary Clinton is back on the offensive, accusing Donald Trump of, quote, taking a hate movement mainstream during a speech in Reno, Nevada.
This is someone who retweets white supremacists online, like the user who goes by the name White Genocide TM. Trump took this fringe bigot with a few dozen followers and spread his message to 11 million people.
She hit Trump on the support he receives from the so-called alt-right movement led by Trump's new CEO, Steve Bannon, the former editor of Breitbart.
Now, to give you a flavor of his work, here are a few headlines they've published. And I'm not making this up. Birth control makes women unattractive and crazy. Would you rather your child had feminism or cancer? Gabby Giffords. The gun control movement's human shield.
A new Clinton web video released today illustrates the KKK's support for Trump.
The reason a lot of Klan members like Donald Trump is because a lot of what he believes, we believe in.
About a dozen anti-Clinton protesters stood outside her event here in Reno and protested what critics call pay-to-play arrangements between Clinton's State Department and her family foundation. Clinton called into a cable news show last night to rebut stories that she gave access to foundation donors.
I know there's a lot of smoke and there's no fire. This AP report, put it in context, it excludes nearly 2,000 meetings I had with world leaders, plus countless other meetings with U.S. government officials when I was Secretary of State.
Clinton would not take questions shouted to her on the rope line about the foundation and her relationship to it. She did, however, push back on the conspiracy theories about her health, laughing, in fact, at National Enquirer stories that Donald Trump likes to quote about her health. A new Quinnipiac poll shows her with more than 50% of likely voters nationwide and that she is leading 10 points Donald Trump in that new poll. Brett?
Actually, there is a new poll out this morning, and Trump is ahead, believe it or not. And the headline, Trump is back in the lead. All right, let's let me do a little bit of earthquake coverage. Who's winning? And this is from the LA Times, 44.3 to 43.6. So depending on what poll you go to, but the idea that Hillary's got it in the bag is ridiculous. There are months to go, and Hillary has got a lot more secrets. All right, so for your earthquake news, East Flores deep sea earthquake, rare phenomenon, Tempco Bandung in Indonesia, and that struck on August 24th, and it measured 6.1. All right, Japanese scientists detect rare deep earth tremor. Scientists who study earthquakes in Japan have detected a rare deep earth tremor for the first time and traced its location to a distant powerful storm. Interesting. Wow. Here's another one. The earthquake in Italy was obviously massive and hurt a lot of people. But Myanmar had an earthquake that was a 6.8, basically almost a 7. We're talking about the Ring of Fire and the destructive power that it has. And but that's a massive earthquake on the Ring of Fire. Italy had its earthquake. And then we had our own earthquake in Colorado-New Mexico border of about a 4.0 right outside of Trinidad, Colorado. So there's earthquakes everywhere. Let's take a little break and come back. I'm going to play you 5 minutes of Clinton Cash. And I do want to thank my sponsors. And let me play for you a little clip here from Clinton Cash. And I told you I try to do 5 minutes a day. Check this out.
And for mineral rights.
They're talking about how the Clintons made deals between companies looking for mineral rights and tyrannies, especially in Africa and Asia.
Ambassador Joe Wilson isn't the only Clinton friend and foundation donor who was working in war-torn countries. Swedish mining investor Lucas Lundin has pledged $100 million to the Clinton Foundation. He did that in 2007. And his most lucrative mining operations are in the war-torn country of the Democratic Republic of Congo. This is a country that perhaps has the most horrific human rights situation on the face of the earth. By the time Lucas Lundin made his $100 million pledge to the Clinton Foundation, his Congo operation was making, quote, staggering profits, end quote, according to his own financial statements. His overall capitalization was $20 billion. But for those profits to remain staggering, U.S. policy under Hillary Clinton had to remain unchanged. That's a problem. Hillary Clinton, as a senator back in 2006, supported something called the Congo Relief, Security, and Democracy Promotion Act. As the law's name implied, the goal was to bring reform to Congo. That's not something that Lucas Lundin would want. So in 2009, when Hillary became Secretary of State, she reversed course 180 degrees and went from supporting reform in Congo to supporting the status quo, which is exactly what Lucas Lundin would want, who, of course, had committed $100 million to the Clinton Foundation. But Congo isn't the only scandal-plagued country where Clinton benefactors have made millions.
Africa's most populous nation, Nigeria, is full of promise. But fulfilling that promise is sometimes a struggle. Plagued by corruption and mismanagement, the resource-rich country has a poverty rate of over 50%.
Look at a country like Nigeria, which is really a cesspool of corruption. In fact, people will say it is perhaps the most corrupt country in the world. It's rich in natural resources. It produces a lot of oil, but that money never trickles down to the people. It goes to the oligarchs who run the country, who oftentimes take that money and put it in Swiss bank accounts in a way that, of course, the people of Nigeria can never benefit from. And you see, there's a federal law in the United States which says if foreign governments that receive U.S. assistance aren't transparent in how they spend that money, that they will not be able to get U.S. foreign assistance anymore. It's about transparency. But there's a way around that law. You can get a waiver from that law. How? By getting the U.S. Secretary of State to grant you a waiver.
We intend to remain very supportive on your reform efforts. Thank you for mentioning the work we did together on the elections. We're also very supportive of the anti-corruption reform efforts, more transparency, and the work that you and your team is also championing, because we really believe that the future for Nigeria is limitless.
So in the case of Nigeria, they receive hundreds of millions of dollars in U.S. foreign assistance. They've not made progress in being more transparent. And, of course, they've gotten exemptions from Hillary Clinton while she was Secretary of State.
All right, so all of this stuff going on, Hillary Clinton has to explain why, even though she's taking money for this foundation, that it's not corruption. It's absolutely crazy. I mean, there's no precedent for someone taking such a powerful job and then, dovetailing her time into another position, which is the head of this company, this so-called charity. So it's just, it's awful that, that these journalists have to split hairs to defend her, saying, yes, they paid money. Yes, more than half of them. And there was something like 85 people who paid on an average of $2 million a piece to talk to her. But of course, there's no corruption. All right. I want to thank our sponsors, Fabulous Frankie and his dancing fingers at Massage Asia, $45. Radio special, normally $60 for a full body massage. And also a $30 head massage that would usually be $35. These are radio specials from AM Las Cruces' Kelly O'Connell Show. He's located 3850 Foothills Road, Suite 2, and the number 222-4945, 222-4945. 222-4945. Let his dancing fingers relax you. It's Fabulous Frankie. And also the law offices of Sam Kane. In pain, call Kane. And he is specializing in tort law, personal injury. His number 526-5263. And if you have an accident, call Sam up and he'll tell you if he thinks that you've got a chance to get a little bit of payback. And also we want to thank the sponsorship of Ben Rossin and Rossin Builder Supply. Don't go to El Paso, folks. And don't forget, if you're supporting local, you're supporting the money's going to keep staying here. If you go to a chain, the money leaves town. 759 Kelly O'Connell. Have a great weekend. Don't forget the Greek festival down in El Paso. And that's Go Off of Mesa. And then that is On the Road, 1245 Festival. Incredible food, great dancing, beautiful girls, belly dancers, and beer and wine. Have a great day. Talk to you in 2 days. Ciao. Go to Blog Talk Radio for a clip of this.